The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 2, text number 52. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on June 7th, 2015. Inland Asia, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yadat te moha kilakam buddhir vyatatirashyati tadagantasi nirvedam shrutavyashyashyashrutashyacha. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and to all that is to be heard. Purport. Purport means the explanation by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord, of those who became indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities, even though an experienced brahmana. Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great devotee and acharya in the line of the devotee, says, Sanjavandanabandramastu bhavato bhosnandatubhyam namo budeva pitarascha tarpana vidau nahang chama. Sham yatam yatra kvapi nishadya yadava kulo tasang shasha kangsha divisha smaram smaram maga haram mitaralam manya kebananya me mame. O prayers three times a day, all glories to you. O bathing, I offer my obeisances unto you. O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respects. Now wherever I sit, I can remember the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and thereby I free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. The Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes, comprehending all kinds of prayer three times a day, taking bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness and is engaged in his transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices as recommended in revealed scriptures. And similarly, if one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limits of Shabda Brahma or the range of the Vedas and Upanishads.
Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata Badakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam sagrajatam sagana ragunatam vitam tam sajiva sadaitam zavadutam parijana saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, who is speaking here? These words are spoken by a person named Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna is actually the original person. Now, some say that there is no such thing as the original person. The origin is actually chemical soup. But I ask you to scientifically analyze this proposition that everything is coming out of soup. Where have you ever seen something that's not alive produce a living thing? Do we have any experience that something dead that does not have life can produce something alive? There's no experience, there's no evidence anywhere within the whole universe that something that is not alive can produce something that is alive. We see that living beings come from living beings. So to propose that the origin of everything is some chemical soup or some bang out there somewhere in the cosmos is not a very scientific proposition. There's no evidence to back it up. We have tons and tons of evidence to show that actually living beings come from living beings. Therefore, the original thing must be a living being. And Krishna says, yes, that's a fact. I'm the original living being. Krishna declares himself to be the original living being. So then how do you check it out to see if Krishna is really telling the truth or not? This book tells you how to do that. This is a laboratory manual. It's called the Bhagavad Gita. This book is a laboratory manual that tells you how to actually purify your senses, how to enter a divine state of enlightened consciousness where you can personally meet Krishna and see how the whole universe is emanating out of his body. You can personally witness it. So if you're looking for something really cool, you've got it. This is the coolest thing in the whole universe, Krishna consciousness. If people just realized how cool it was, everybody would be here today. The whole Pretoria would be crammed in the hallway. But people are so dull. They're so completely deluded by materialistic propaganda that they're not here. They're doing something else, wasting their Sunday afternoon. But those who are actually in the know, those who are actually wise, they're here. Because they understand there is an essence to existence. Existence is not essenceless. Existence has an essence. And when you connect with that essence of existence, then you're in bliss. And if you don't connect with it, well, you're up and down. Sometimes you feel great, sometimes you feel lousy. You see, that's called the modes of material nature.
So the intelligent person, he wants to find out what is the purpose of my existence. I mean, why am I here? Am I here simply because my parents wanted to have a baby? Is that why I'm here? Is it? Why do I exist? Actually, everybody in a certain time of their life has such questions, but it's suppressed by their parents, by their peers, by their educators. Such inquiry is suppressed. Well, don't ask those questions now, little boy. Now you just, you know, study hard, make good grades, get a good job, get a good wife, get a good career, and you can think about those things later on. But they never think about it later on. It's suppressed. So what we should do is, from the very beginning, this education has to be given. Krishna consciousness has to be educated from the very beginning for everyone in the society, in all the schools, the colleges, the popular songs, the novels, the movies, the dramas. Everything should be geared towards giving this knowledge. And then the world will change. It'll become a paradise. There'll be no more crime. There'll be no more violence. There'll be no more... Even nature will cooperate. Formerly in the times, in the previous age called the Dwarpa Yuga, there was a king who was the ruler of the whole planet Earth, and he was Krishna conscious. The whole world was Krishna conscious before 5,000 years ago. And because of it, nature was balanced. There was not too much rain. There was not too little rain. It was not too hot. It was not too cold. There was profuse crops, fruits, vegetables, the most delicious, organic, succulent fruits and vegetables available everywhere for everyone. Huge quantities of milk products and yogurt and ghee, which is the clarified butter was used for cooking. The connoisseur's delight, cooking in ghee was the standard thing for everyone. So it's a very pathetic situation the world is in right now. Therefore, we members of the Krishna consciousness movement are trying to do something. We want to save the world. We really do. I mean, this world is a screwed up mess. And we want to do something about it. We have the formula, you see. We have found, we've been fortunate to find these teachings of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the source of all existence, has given us the formula of how individually and collectively, as a world society, even a universal society, the scientists don't know it yet, but there's beings on every planet, they just don't have the senses to see them. You see? We perceive within a certain range, just like a dog can hear things you can't hear. An instrument can pick up ultraviolet rays, which you cannot see. But there are beings on higher planets who exist in realms of perception that are beyond our scope. You understand? So it's not that we're the only people in this in an empty universe. The whole universe is filled up with living beings on every planet. We just can't perceive them because we're tuned into this particular atmosphere on this planet. That's all. But self-realized souls can actually understand the presence of all these beings. And self-realized souls are engaged in a program not only to deliver the inhabitants of this planet, but also to deliver the inhabitants of all the planets throughout the entire universe. The topmost personality for this is known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the center of our altar right here, along with four of his associates. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared 500 years ago in India, and he introduced an amazing mystical process called Sankirtan Yajna, wherein one vibrates sacred mantras which are non-different from God Himself. Especially this mantra was introduced, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they went in the town, it was called Navadvip. They went to the different neighborhoods within Navadvip, chanting and dancing with this Hare Krishna mantra. And by this one kirtan that they did, which was so powerful, it was so potent, that kirtan has actually set into motion the deliverance of the entire universe. So when we chant here, we're just connecting with that original kirtan that was done by Lord Chaitanya and his associates. The vibrations are the ripple effect coming out of that original kirtan in Navadvip has been felt here today in Pretoria. You see, this is the ripple effect from that original kirtan of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And by chanting here with great enthusiasm, we can amplify the ripples. You see, you can amplify the ripples to make it more, the effect of that original kirtan even more powerfully manifested here in South Africa and all over the whole universe. So this is a very powerful process. It's a very sublime process. And please take advantage of it. Please chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Come and chant with us here. Chant at home. You can get some beads. Someone have some beads. Hold up your beads. Yes, we have prayer beads, and one can chant on these prayer beads. When you're not doing the group thing, you can do your own individual private meditation. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The amazing thing about this mantra is this. When you chant this mantra, you are directly communing with, you're directly contacting, you're directly associating with the Supreme Person as the source of all existence. Just as if you were to meet him face to face, shake his hands, he had hugged you, whatever it may be, in his personal contact. When you chant on his names, either in the group chanting called kirtan or the private chanting called japa, when you do this, you actually enter into a divine state of consciousness called Krishna consciousness, which is beyond the influence of the material nature. The material nature is always fluctuating, hot and cold, happiness and distress, poverty and wealth, sickness and health. It's always up and down, and the not-so-merry-go-round of material existence. But when you connect with this Hare Krishna mantra, you are actually transcending the waves of the material nature. You're entering into a divine state of deathlessness. In other words, right now you're sitting in a material body. That material body is destined to die. In fact, it's dying off at every minute. It's a slow death. It takes about 80 years or 100 years. For some, they die off in about 30 years. As soon as you're born, your death is on your death clock is ticking. You're already in the process of dying as soon as you're born. But when you enter into the state of Krishna consciousness, you rise beyond your material body. You enter into the realm known as immortality or deathlessness, in which you now actually exist as an eternal being beyond your body, beyond the changes of the body like birth, death, old age, and disease. You actually achieve a state of eternal youthfulness, immortality, by entering into Krishna consciousness. So this is actually worth millions of dollars. We could charge you millions of dollars to train you in this. It'd be a bargain. Even if we charge you millions of dollars to take this training, it would be a bargain. That's how valuable it is. But we don't charge anything, you see. How we can charge, how we can commercialize this knowledge. This knowledge is traditionally given freely by bona fide spiritual masters, by Brahmana teachers. It has traditionally always been given free of charge. So we are following the tradition. We've been ordered to distribute it freely by the one who gave it freely to us. If you want to pollute it by charging for it, it loses its potency. This knowledge is given freely. Of course, we have to ask something for our books to pay the printing cost. That's all. But the knowledge itself, the training, we don't charge any money. This is all free of charge. Because we want you to achieve a state of pure happiness. We can't stand to see that you're miserable. And you are miserable. At least some of the time you really feel bad, but you shouldn't ever feel bad. This is an artificial state. Someone who's actually awakened in their self, there's never an anxiety in any situation. Even if difficulties come, It's not a big deal for a person who's Krishna conscious. There's one pastime of Krishna. There was one multi-headed snake, and Krishna is actually the original ecologist, because there was one multi-headed poisonous snake whose venom was polluting the river Jamuna in the holy land of Vrindavan in India. So Krishna wanted to subdue that poisonous serpent who was polluting the waters. He jumped in as a multi-headed serpent. He jumped in to subdue him, so this serpent tried to grab him and, you know, kill him with his many hundreds of hoods. But Krishna simply, he danced. He was so expert dancer, he could step on one head, take one step on one head, and the heads were moving constantly, you can imagine. The heads are going like this, and he's jumping. He's standing, dancing on the heads. You can imagine how dexterous of a dancer Krishna is. He's able to dance on the heads of this snake who was trying to kill him. And finally, the snake lost all of his energy and surrendered and became a devotee of Krishna. But for a devotee, you see, whatever difficulties come are just like the heads of the Kaliya serpent. He just dances on them. Whatever trials, whatever tribulations attack a devotee, he just dances on them. Krishna was having great fun dancing on the heads of Kali, even though Kali was trying to kill him. He was having great fun. He was having a great time just dancing away. The Brijavasis were watching him. He was like putting on a show for all the Brijavasis, dancing on the hoods of Kali, a serpent, having great fun, you see. So for a devotee, actually, even when he's in difficulty, he's having a great time, because he's stepping on the head of all of his difficulties. He's realizing, this is just some karma, and by remembering Krishna, I'm getting liberated from it immediately. It's just some karma from my previous actions come bouncing back on me, but no big deal. I'm remembering Krishna, so now I'm protected from all karmic reactions. Nothing can hurt me anymore. Nothing can take away my connection with Krishna, you see. I'm protected because I've taken shelter of Krishna, and nothing can touch me now. I'm invulnerable to any attack of the material energy. So a devotee just has a great time dancing in the heads of all his trials and tribulations. He's not disturbed by them a bit. So, I think it'd be fruitful to ask some questions. For questions now, anybody has some questions, I'll be happy to answer your questions. Do I have to pay you? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to find out that when you're a devotee and you chant.
When you're a devotee and you chant?
Yes, and then you chant. But at some point, there's a break in between that you can't chant anymore. Chanting is just a body. You just feel like, I can't chant anymore. What is the cause? Is it the
yes. A devotee is chanting and all of a sudden he just says, I can't do this anymore. Tell me, just in one day or just completely stops?
Stops,
okay. If somebody is taken up the process of chanting Hare Krishna to try to awaken their love of God within their heart, at a certain point they say, I'm not going to do it anymore. It happened. We see many people doing this. This means they didn't know how to chant properly. Because if one actually chants properly, without fail, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're from, I don't care white, black, man, woman, male, female, American, South African, Russian, I don't care what, you know, what your karma, whether you're a murderer, whether you're a saint, it doesn't matter. Anyone who takes up this chanting of Hare Krishna and actually follows the prescribed method given by the acharyas, this person will experience a divine awakening within the heart. They'll totally fall absolutely in love with Krishna in the form of his name, and Krishna in every single form that he's manifested in. Whether it's, you know, a sunrise or the chirping of a bird even, these are all manifestations of Krishna too. But especially in the form of the holy name, the deity form, devotee will just be completely in bliss, a state of divine rapture, associating with Krishna. So if someone chants and then goes away, it means they didn't know how to chant properly. No one trained them, or if they did get the training, they didn't take it seriously. There is what's called the nam aparadhas, the offenses against the chanting of the holy name. One has to avoid them. One has to avoid being offensive towards devotees. He has to think that and understand the name of Krishna. Krishna is not just one of many gods. He's actually the supreme source of all the gods. One has to actually take shelter of a spiritual master who teaches you how to perfectly chant Hare Krishna. One has to obey that spiritual master. So in this way, there are different rules and regulations, procedures. Just like you're going to bake a cake, for example. What if you bake the cake and you get goo in the bottom of the pan at the end of it, and you pull it out of the oven, it's just some goo in the bottom of the pan, just throw it away. Maybe even the birds won't touch it. You see? What went wrong? You didn't follow the recipe. The recipe is perfect. Why the cake didn't come out right? Because you didn't carefully follow the recipe. So there's a recipe for chanting Hare Krishna also, the Hare Krishna recipe. You see? If you will follow this recipe, it's guaranteed you will see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. You will come direct in contact with God Himself. You realize your eternal identity beyond your material body. You realize who you are in the divine pastimes of Krishna before you fell into this material world. All of these things will be revealed to you if you follow the recipe. But if you don't follow the recipe, well, you may get some goo in the bottom of the pan, you see. This is confirmed very nicely. We have a nice book called The Nectar of Instruction. In this book, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Setap Yavidya Pito Patapta Rasha Nasha Narochikanu Kindvandanandanuninang Kalishai Vajushra Savikamad Bhavitad Gadamula Hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Lord Krishna are transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya or ignorance cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So really all boils down to this. As Rupa Goswami instructs us, carefully chanting these sweet names every day. We don't always taste them as sweet. Sometimes they're bitter. I don't feel like chanting Hare Krishna. I just want to sleep. Right? I don't feel like chanting Hare Krishna. There's a kirtan going on. I just want to go sleep somewhere. I don't feel like chanting. Because we're neophytes, you see. We don't always relish the holy name. Sometimes it's bitter. But the key is you have to have faith in the power of the name, and you have to keep carefully chanting 16 rounds every day, joining the kirtans as much as possible. This is medicine. If you want to cure the disease, you have to faithfully take the medicine. If you don't take the medicine, you'll get free from the disease? No. But doctor, the medicine's bitter. Too bad. What can we do? You say you have to take the medicine, bitter or sweet. This should be opened up, maybe a knife or something. So, in this way, they weren't carefully chanting. They were carelessly chanting. So one has to learn the art how to carefully chant Hare Krishna. It's very simple. Just like if I were to tell you to carefully pronounce my name, Sankarshan, Das, Adhikari. And just when Sankarshan, not carefully, you see, just mumbling something out. That's not carefully chanting my name. But if you say, oh, Sankarshan, Das, Adhikari, carefully chanting it, you see. So in the same way, you have to carefully chant the Hare Krishna mantra. If you carelessly do it, you see. Nish nish nam nam, nish nish nam nam, nish nish nam nam, nish nish nam nam. You're not going to get anything. Got to get anywhere. But the Prabhupada said every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, as far as Ram goes, I've heard Prabhupada go Rama Rama, also Ram Ram. So you can go either way on the Ram, but you know what? If you look at it really carefully from the standpoint of the art of diction, you will see that you cannot say ma without an ah. You can't say without ah. Ram. You see, you can go Rama, you can go Ram. It's still an ah sound behind the M. So whether you go Rama or you go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, you're still putting an ah in there. So you can't say ma without a vowel sound after it. So whether you go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, or Hari Rama, Hari Rama, either way is okay on that one. But you can't go Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You got to go the na in Krishna. You see? So carefully chant in here. You see? If you'll carefully chant in here, I guarantee you, and there's other things you have to do as well. And the Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu what you have to do to achieve the perfectional state. Number one, you got to have faith in the process. Number one, it's called Shraddha. Number two, sadhu sangha, you got to associate with devotees, like-minded souls who are on the same path as you. Number three, bhajana kriya, you have to accept the spiritual master and get initiated, you see. Make a formal commitment to your Guru Maharaj that now I'm under your care and direction, I'll obey you. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to obey you. You have to find a pure devotee, you see, who has Krishna in his heart. Because only a person who has Krishna in his heart can transfer Krishna into your heart also, you see. So you have to find a spiritual master as a pure devotee of Krishna, not one of these bogus people who say that we're all God, you see. Someone who teaches Krishna Bhakti purely, who has Krishna in his heart, you have to take shelter of him as your guru, you have to get initiated by him, and then under his direction, he'll tell you what you're doing right, he'll tell you what you're doing wrong, he'll give you pointers, he'll encourage you, he'll chastise you, whatever you need to get on the path, he's going to do it out of love for you, you see, because he wants to save you from the cycle of birth and death. So that stage is called bhajana kriya. You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by the vow known as initiation. And then after initiation, then that's when the house cleaning really gets going heavy. That lust, that anger, that greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, all those things which are blocking you from experiencing Krishna, who is actually present within every atom and between every atom. The things that are blocking you from personally associating with Krishna at every minute, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusions, and envy, all those things are gradually cleansed out of your heart. And you go, wow, I didn't realize this existed, you see. All those things blocking your consciousness, they're purged out gradually. Gradually, gradually, they're purged out. And the name becomes, and then you become very solidly fixed. That's called the nishtha stage, fixed up devotee in the real sense of the term. And then from there, when you're solidly fixed, you know, no one can divert you away from your chanting anymore. Even if a beautiful girl comes and offers her body to you, you're not interested. You just want to chant Hare Krishna. And then the full beauty and the power of the name begins to become tasted by you. That's called Namaruchi. The taste of the name becomes so sweet. You could go on chanting for millions of years and never get tired of it, nonstop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In this way, you become absolutely, totally, completely addicted to Krishna. More than a heroin addict. You become a Krishna addict. All I want is Krishna, nothing but Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Now, let's see. And then at that stage, you actually realize your eternal identity in the spiritual world. Krishna reveals to you your eternal relationship with him. And then you begin to have this eruption of emotions within your heart as you begin to have loving reciprocation with Krishna according to your identity with him. That's called the bhava stage. And then this purification of actually entering into the mood of your eternal identity completely washes away any last traces of contaminant, any last traces of what's separating you from your eternal identity, and you resume your original relationship with Krishna in any one of five primary rasas. So it works. They're just not chanting carefully, that's all. Any one of those books. Any other questions? If not, I'll tell you about this book. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. I personally one time asked him about if I could write books, and he said, this sounds very pleasing to me. So Prabhupada blessed me that I could write books. And this book is a very special book. It's very powerful for those who are taking to the path of Krishna consciousness. They want to get all their doubts addressed and defeated by transcendental knowledge. It's also great for those who want to preach, to especially the newcomers who don't know anything at all about Krishna consciousness, how to explain it in terminology that they can relate to. It's questions and answers on the science of Krishna consciousness. And there's different subjects, like the different levels of realization, the absolute truth, the via medium, chanting Hare Krishna, offering food, devotees, self-realization, and having a job, which many of us have to do. It tells you all these different aspects, the form of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, dispelling myths and misconceptions, what is ISKCON, so many different subject matters, and there's different questions and answers on each one. So we have a limited supply of these. I have a case of them right here. And I don't know how much they're going for.
200.
Where is our Bhadasit?
200.
200 brand? Okay. And anybody who takes a book today, you can bring it to me, and you tell me your name, and I'll give you a special blessing and an autograph. So that's available today. Anybody who wants to take advantage of it. And so since we have 10 minutes, so anybody who wants to take a book, they can do that and come up. Who's administering this? Where is Padasevana? Not here? Okay. So you can collect the 200 rand and they can come and leave with a book. Anybody who wants it, you're welcome. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.